Nationally, rents have increased by 4.8% this year. Southland and the West Coast are apparently the best place to be for a renter for now. That's if you can find a house to rent, that is. New research finds rent is more favourable in these two regions relative to incomes, but don't get your bags packed just yet. Despite being more affordable than the national average, Southland has still gone up 15% in the last year. Now, according to the Massey University research, everywhere in New Zealand is getting more expensive to rent. Marlborough, Bay of Plenty, Auckland, Hawke's Bay, Tasman and Northland are the least affordable. Professor Graham Squires is one of the new report's co-authors and joins us now. Tēnā koe.
Hey, how are you doing there?
Very well. Okay, talk us through the general picture here. In the last few months, is it? The last wee while, we are seeing an acceleration in rents.
Yeah, I mean, our report looks at various sort of relative figures. So we're looking at ratios of rents and wages and how that's distributed over the country in terms of regional distributions and how things are relative to the national picture. There's no surprise, I suppose, that Southland and the West Coast are more rent affordable. But what was interesting that we're in those regions, we're still seeing rents increase by 15%. So, you know, with a diminishing amount of rental stock available and the spectre of rents increasing, we're starting to question, well, what do we do about the rental market?
I'll get to the what do we do in a second, but just the main driver, it is just lack of supply. Can you make that as a sort of a blanket statement?
I don't think it's just lack of supply. I mean, there's ways in which the market sort of changed in that's the rental market and how it interrelates with the housing market. So, you know, house price sales market. So if we've seen house price sales increase, you know, by the very nature, we're going to see issues in the rental market. Also changes in terms of various sort of government policies in terms of releasing the interest deductibility on investment properties, extensions of the bright line test,
yes,
you know, the release of the COVID-19 rent freeze. So that's all going to sort of release some pent up value.
Can you make any comment about the impact that those changes have had? Obviously, the interest deductibility comes in stages over a 4-year period, but the bright line test has come in. So, have you seen a direct impact from that on rent prices? Because that was one of the concerns.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult in the report to make that direct connection, but we hear anecdotally that there are those connections, and there's going to be people who move from signals of government policy changes. So they're going to make some sort of decision on whether to, this is landlords, make some decision on whether to increase rents based on those market shaping signals.
Okay. You believe that it is perhaps time to intervene, that the government should step in some of the key markets, the big cities perhaps, and look at rent controls?
Yeah, I'm sort of saying that we need to take a good hard look at rent control and the implications of rent control. Obviously, it's not going to be palatable to landlords and it's not going to be politically popular. But if it gets to a situation where we've got poor quality housing and poor quality, unaffordable housing to rent, there's tends to be a last resort of rent control or as a backstop is another way to describe it. So I think we need to sort of start that conversation, I would say.
Does the evidence, though, suggest that it works in other countries?
Depends what you mean by whether it works or not. If it means that people are able to rent a house rather than being in substandard accommodation, you know, a price they can't afford, then it's not working. So, you know, there's a particular example.
Sure.
I think New York's often rolled out as an example of dealing with rapidly escalating rents in particular areas. So I think it's the implications of this is well, what will happen to other parts of the housing system and housing economy. So there'll be conversations about whether people put rents up or whether people leave the market as investors or landlords. But that might actually ease some of the pressure in the system.
I mean, the New Zealand Initiative has argued very strongly on this. They argue that where rent controls, rent caps have been put in place, it has hurt the supply of houses coming onto the market and been counterproductive.
Yeah, I mean, for that, from those particular circles, they're going to be representing a particular business interest. And the model they've used is more of a sort of a basic neoclassical idea that if you put a cap, supply will just be squeezed, and people will put rents up, or and then there's going to be subsequent issues with that. But as I see it, it's not just housing as a consumption good, as we'll call it, and it doesn't operate like a normal consumer good. We've got particular interests in terms of investment, and we've got particular interests in terms of housing as a social good, and they all interact. And clearly, New Zealand, with a large fragmented mum and dad investor market, there's more complexities than what was presented there.
Just finally, you're saying start the conversation. So what does that look like? You want to, what, the government to commission some sort of report looking at what impact rent controls could have? How would you like that conversation to start?
I think that'd be a sensible way to start looking at things, rather than just making knee-jerk off-the-cuff ideas that this is just going to mean that prices will go up and people will leave the market. I think that would be a sensible way forward, is to get all stakeholders around the table, really, and think through what the implications of rent control and what that will be.
Professor Graham Squires, thank you very much for that, from Massey University's research unit, Housing Research Unit.